Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir over all things, and through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things through his word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become superior to the angels, as the name that he inherited is far more excellent than theirs. When he, the one through whom the worlds were created, when he, who is the actual reflection and image of God's glory, when he, through his word, was born human, lowered himself, lived a human life, sacrificed it through the most agonizing of death, was buried, but resurrected when he had completed that work for purification for sins, he sat down in his rightful place at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He rested. This morning, as we continue our series on bread and butter, I get to add the sugar, if you like. I figured out that that's the ingredient. I had to go and find this recipe and find what rest was, because I thought it was salt. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. But actually, rest is the sweetener. This is the thing that sweetens our faith. And as we look at these very basics, Ben spoke last week on prayer, living water, the essence. This week I'm speaking about rest. Now I confess that when I was given the list of things, I'm not sure what I thought, but I remember saying to Phil, I can't do any of these. In this season, I can't speak about spiritual disciplines. What do I speak in? And then after a couple of days, I thought, well, what do I need to learn most about? And rest was it. So after almost 10 months of adjusting my life and stripping everything out of it and struggling with some of the very basics of life, like getting up in the morning, I can attest to the reality that exhaustion and despair does not always become a useful place to start learning and practicing rest. However, it appears that it's often where we come to a knowledge of rest from. So I don't know about you, but when I think about rest, I associate things like peace and tranquility. It's invitational. And I'm puzzled at why this such attractive thing is so elusive to us. Have a rest, they say. Yeah, right, they say. Have you seen my to-do list? Whether it be from the burdens of the world around us, whether it be the challenges that we're facing that force us to always be what I call navel-gazing, looking at ourselves, or whether it's been what we've replaced the word with, this 24/7 connectedness and interruption, never turning off the noise, we need rest in this space. And I think rest, like all good sugary things, is something we crave for. It is little wonder, then, that rest is actually listed as a spiritual discipline. A discipline. A discipline takes effort. And like most spiritual disciplines, or like all spiritual disciplines, they're not intended to be punitive, they're not a punishment, they're not a way of earning our faith, they're not a demand. But when entered into, they bring great reward. And rest is one such sweet discipline. But just what is rest? What is rest as a spiritual discipline? Why is it different from leisure or solitude? And what about all those things yet undone on that list? And where does the Sabbath fit? Well, we're not going to get to all of that today because we only have a short period of time. But I do hope that we will consider our thoughts about rest and actually take a deep look at our own understanding at it, and hopefully also identify one or two things that we can put into practice, into the basics of our faith. This morning I started with a verse from Hebrews 1. Not a verse that we would naturally go to when talking about rest, but it spoke so loudly to me about the thought that Jesus, having made purification for sins, having completed his work of salvation, that he sits. And whilst it's not the Greek word for rest, it is in an implication of rest in his rightful place. He knew his place right there next to the Father. And that impacted me deeply about how we approach rest, about it being part of our rightful place, that actually rest and Sabbath, which is just different words for the same concept in the Bible, is actually in our rightful place. It's being right here with Jesus, being transported, being transfigured, if you like, to get to sit not on our own thrones of self-achievement and grandeur in our little kingdoms, but as the recipients of abundant love and grace given to us through the sacrifice of Christ. Rest, or resting, implies that there is also work, does it not? Now, at first, when we hear work, I suspect most of us think about an employment, a 9-to-5 job, you know, what it is to knock off. But work is any place our energy goes. And according to the dictionary online, I don't know whether it was AI or not, but according to dictionary online, rest from any activity or work is any activity involving mental or physical effort to achieve a purpose or result. So you can think about labour, toil, exertion, and that work may be in any one of a number of our places. Yes, it might be in the employment for which we receive an actual paycheck, but it could be at home, caring for someone, at school, the work of a student, and yes, in our neighbourhoods and the sporting clubs or social clubs that we give our time to. And for some of us, that work might also be in the process of grieving. Grieving well is work. And it might be the process of healing. And there's a lot of work sometimes that goes into healing. Those frequent visits to hospitals or clinics for treatments. I suspect that for us, our work is a combination of all of those things. And I want to say they're all the things that are physical, mental, and emotional activities from which we all need rest. It is rest from doing to being. We discover rest, firstly, in Genesis. And this is no surprise to most of us. We all know Genesis quite well, and we discover rest or Sabbath right from the very beginning of Scripture. In Genesis 2:3, we are told that on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. No surprise, there's lots, we could do a whole sermon on that. But what surprised me was this concept, and I can remember saying to Phil, I must have this wrong, because we don't really read or hear about rest again or Sabbath for 2,500 years. From creation to Exodus. That's what it's estimated to be. When an enslaved people were rescued from their Egyptian labour camps. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 detail the Ten Commandments, the laws handed down from God to Moses for this new nation that he had rescued. And they were told to remember the Sabbath, the seventh day, and keep rest from your labours, just as God did in creation. And Deuteronomy highlights the contrast to their days of slavery. It says, remember you were slaves. God rescued you in a mighty way, and he's commanded you to observe Sabbath, that is rest. You are no longer slaves. You were made in my image. You create, you look back, you see that it is good, and you enjoy in your rest. But there's a little bit more that we can learn from Exodus. And it's actually back a few chapters where rest is a concept is introduced to the people of God. And whilst Exodus 20 details the ongoing institution of Sabbath, here it is introduced in the desert, in the wilderness between Elim and Sinai, to a group of grumbling, dissatisfied, unhappy people who were lamenting being rescued. If only we had died in Egypt. If you just hadn't have saved us, our bellies would be full. These are the conditions in which God tells Moses that he will provide. There will be quail in the evenings, sweet manna, the very basics of bread, every morning, and that the people should gather just enough for that day and on that day only, that this would be a test for them. It is actually set as a test, whether they would follow God's instructions and whether they would trust God at his word. Those who gathered surplus soon found it would spoil by the morning, and it had been a futile exercise, except on the sixth day. On the sixth day, they were instructed to gather twice as much because on the seventh they would rest. And mysteriously or miraculously, the manna would not spoil on that day. Sabbath, at its very beginning, at least in the human concept, was a restful reminder of God's provision, of a time to trust him, and it was corporate. It was in the context of you, your household, your slaves, and everything you own. It was not a concept of solitude. I find that a really interesting thing. Sabbath becomes part of the rhythm of life for the Israelites, but sadly over 1,400 years, Sabbath becomes a new type of slavery imposed by religious leaders. Got to watch out for those religious leaders. One which Jesus challenges on several occasions, and it's a key point of contention. Jesus' responses to some of these challenges included pointing out that a person is much more valuable than sheep, and therefore it is good and lawful to do good on the Sabbath. You can find that in Matthew 12. That the Sabbath was made for the benefit of people, not people for the Sabbath. That he was Lord even of the Sabbath. And then in Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." In a video attributed to speeches of Billy Graham, and I really don't know if this was a genuine speech of Billy Graham, it's one of those videos that you sort of go, not sure who put that together. Whatever and whoever did, these words resounded. It had this to say about Jesus and the Sabbath, his approach to the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath, he taught on the Sabbath, he healed on the Sabbath, not to break it, but to restore it to its true meaning. Jesus came to show us the heart behind the command, to command a day of life, not law, of rest, not restriction. Now, I think that is a beautiful and sweet picture of Sabbath and rest. Hebrews 4 is the culmination of the picture that I started with this morning, of Jesus having made purifications for sins, having completed his work of salvation. We are assured in Hebrews that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And then it says this, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." That's the discipline part. It does go on to actually say so that we don't live in disobedience and fall away. Now, you can take that as a punitive command if you want, but my understanding of it is that not resting becomes to our own peril, because it leads to us being enslaved again, not living in Christ's freedom, but enslaved to the world, to ourselves, or to all of those things that even sit on our mobile devices. It is helpful to make sure that we don't become weary and worn out, and the grumbling people who say, "If only I hadn't given my life to Christ, I wouldn't be doing all this stuff." Can you hear it? Whatever rest is, it is a good gift. It's an invitation, it's intentional, it is our rightful place to rest. And yes, it requires effort, but it brings great reward. So we're going to have a bit of talk time because it's an Inspire Sunday, and as I've just said, I'm learning this right now. I do not feel qualified to give people ideas and suggestions, but I have a few things that have spoken to me, because I'm never without a word, am I? So rest. When we rest, we're going to look at this for a bit, have a chat, and we're going to look at some other things, okay? When we rest, first of all, we reorient. So yes, this is an REST acronym thing. But I went through a lot of words here, but I thought for me the first would be to reorient. When we rest, we reorient ourselves from the noise of this world, from this personal circumstances, whatever we're in, and from this endless cycle of appeal to be engaged in leisure constantly, from the distraction of noise and phones and streaming service. We reorient ourselves when we enter into rest. That reorientation is actually entering into. It's a move away from ourselves and towards the throne. It's a reorientation. Other words that I could think of were things like refresh, release, remember that God's word. When we rest, we enrich our lives and the lives of others. Jesus, when we rest like Jesus, who did rescue a sheep on a Sabbath, who did heal a man's withered hand on the Sabbath, who did walk through the fields with his disciples and pluck the grains because they were hungry. We become enriched and we spend our time not preparing but enjoying. Jesus highlighted those things about doing good on the Sabbath. We, in our Sabbath rest, in rest, actually get to not only enter into reorient, but to enjoy that we are God's child no matter what the circumstances, that we are his very creation, that he loves us. And we get to encounter God and engage with others without demand. We enrich, enjoy, encounter, engage. And when we rest, we become satisfied. We become satisfied with the simplicity of life. I don't think there's anything more simple than manna. It was a simple day. Even in the deserts of life, we can become satisfied with the sufficiency of Christ no matter what our circumstances. We cease striving to solve and resolve our circumstances and we become sustained. It is a spiritual encounter that feeds our very being, something that all sorts of doing doesn't always do. And when we rest, we trust. We trust God at his word for his provision, even if we're still hungry that day. We are brought to a place of renewed trust of for healing, even if we're still broken that day. It is he who created the worlds. It is Christ who is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of his very being. And it is he who is sustaining all things through his word. We trust. And when we rest in our rightful place, not in our own little kingdom, but in the kingdom of God, our time is transferred. We are transported and transformed from the earthly to the eternal. When we rest, we do those things. So how do we make every effort? I'm going to give you four things and then you're going to have a time to chat. And I'll give you it all. How are we going for time? Yeah, I'll give you it all and then we'll have a time for chat, yeah? So very quickly, some ideas to enter that rest. If you choose other R-E-S-T words, that's fine. I like my, for me, the reorient, enrich, satisfied. When we enter that, to enter that, what do you have to do? You need to plan. Plan. You need to really do the work. What is work for you? What is rest for you? But you need to do that in the context of the household you are in. Otherwise, it's not going to have that communal aspect. I'm an introvert. It would be easy for me to say that rest is total solitude away from everyone else. Just give me my art studio and I am done. Well, I need to find other ways to do that. For Phil, it would be party time. That's not going to be rest for me. But whatever it is, when you plan, talk to your children. How is it going to be that? If your household is one of one, then how can you engage with community in order to fulfill that aspect of shared rest? So plan, prioritize. You're going to need to set aside time. Now, I'm not suggesting that you start with a whole day. That might not be possible where you're at, but you're going to need to prioritise and set aside time. You need to prepare for it in the other 6 days. You can't just at 5:55 on the night before go, oh, Sabbath, what am I going to do? Prepare for it on the other 6 days, and you need to practice. Some things to do when we're practicing is think about rhythm and ritual. And I don't mean ritual as in a really oversense, but in ritual, it is what can I do, and is there something physically I can do to move that reorientation from my world to his world? Is it light a candle? Is it get changed into your pajamas? What is it that actually might help you shift in your thinking from one time to another? This is one way I think you can really practice, I call it the daily pause. If you read Genesis, God did not wait till the end of the sixth day to sit back and say, oh, it is very good. Now everything's complete. I'll stop. He actually, and it wasn't just at the end of every day. If you read Genesis 1, you'll find there are frequent days where God stops in the middle of the day, takes a step back, I imagine it in my mind, and says, it is good, then gets on. In preparing for what Sabbath is about, practice the daily pause to move your world from your achievements to his achievements. You can think about a weekly meal, a monthly retreat. Somebody used to say one day a week, a weekend a month, you know, an hour a day, a day a week, a weekend a month. But that was in the context of solitude, I think. And I do start to see a different conviction about rest. It needs to be distinct from the other 6 days. It's not Groundhog Day. There is something significant about the exchange and the quality, even if it's just an hour at dinner. There needs to be something distinct and set aside by it. It needs to be removed from interruptions and have the stillness we've just experienced for a moment. It is practicing saying no because you have said yes. And I heard what Kate had to say before about, you know, sometimes we have to say yes to things that are beyond us. Saying yes to Sabbath means saying no to other things. Yes and no are a transaction. For every yes, there is a series of no's that you're going to say no to. Practice saying no because you have said yes when you prioritized. Find the balance between solitude and connection. That's a challenge for those of us who are introverted. And it is serving others. So this is the chance for you to have a chat. Out of all of those things, share with one another, what are your experiences of rest? And how and what is it that you might need to make adjustments for in order to enter that rest? So we'll have 3 or 4 minutes just to chat to each other, and then we'll wrap that up. Okay? Thank you. If you don't want to chat to someone, I can understand that, and that's fine. Just say no thank you, but spend this time with the Holy Spirit in your solitude. Okay? Please, people, respect it if somebody just needs their own space, and that's totally fine. But otherwise, just spend a couple of minutes now. Okay, I'm sure we could spend quite a bit of time chatting about that, and I'm going to ask the team to come back up. This conversation does not have to stop here. When we go through for morning tea, as we enter into the chapel, as we become enriched by the fellowship with each other, as we become satisfied with our cup of tea or coffee or whatever it is we're drinking, as we trust, talk about it with each other. Is there someone who you can say, you know what, I'm going to try this week. Do you want to join me? Just think about how we can enter into that rest together. I'm going to hand over to Michael, and you can lead us and help us move and enter into rest. Thank you.